What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 464, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps us out and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Another week, another podcast. Just a lot of topics, a lot of bullet points tonight, it looked like.
It's kind of the first week where we don't really have any graphics card news.
Okay.
First week in a while. There is technically a sort of graphics card story in there, but we don't have any like different graphics card news. There's a lot of other stuff going on. We'll go over what we're going to talk about this week. So, new memory that I took a look at from Clev. So, we'll talk about that. We have a pretty cool build for KSMod Friday. We're going to talk about how NVIDIA is going to do their next gen GPUs, or how, you know, what company they're going to use to make them. We're going to talk about some interesting cases. So a couple of interesting cases were released this week. Also some really interesting CPUs that are essentially rebrands of very old products. We'll talk about that. We have some gaming handheld stuff. And we have some interesting Microsoft news as well. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week. If you did want to follow along, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we are going to be talking about, with links to everything as well. So if you hear something on the podcast and you want to reference it later, you can just come back here and everything is going to be right here. So let's start out with my review of this memory from Clev. So I took a look at their Crass V or Crass 5 RGB, and this is a DDR5 memory kit running at 6,000 megahertz. Pretty tight timings of 28, 36, 36, 76 at 1.4 volts. Now, this memory will come in both black and white versions. I got the black version here, which has the sort of like definitely a much more sleek design than their Urbane memory, which I also took a look at. This is more of a streamlined, sort of industrial look. It's going to look good whether you have the white version or the black version. The big difference, of course, is on the white version, your heat spreaders here are going to be white. But beyond that, it is pretty much the same. Like I said, a really solid looking kit overall. This, of course, is RGB memory. So at that top there, you do have that diffuser with a simple Clev logo at the top. Nothing, like I said, nothing out of the ordinary. Like, it's not a crazy design or anything like that. And I think a lot of, there's only a couple of memory companies doing like really kind of crazy memory designs.
G-Skill, yeah.
Yeah, or something like that. But overall, like I said, I think this memory looks great. And if you want to take a look at that, what that RGB looks like, it is just right here. The RGB, there's no dedicated software. All you have to do is just install it. Your motherboard's going to detect it. Works with all major motherboard RGB software, and you can control it that way. You can have it match what the lights on your motherboard or anything you have connected to your motherboard RGB headers. You can kind of match up with this and everything like that. So it is, like I said, pretty simple. Nothing crazy or anything like that. Now, this is 6,000 megahertz memory, which is going to be really good for both Intel and AMD. And it does have both your XMP and an Expo profile on it, as you can see. So you won't have to worry whether you're installing it on AMD or Intel. You just select the profile and you're essentially good to go. Performance was good overall, nothing out of the ordinary as far as our performance goes. You can see all of our results here and everything like that. When it came to overclocking, it was a bit weird because typically, especially with like memory that's not all that, you know, it's not this high megahertz memory, right? Like, we've tested memory up to 8,200 megahertz, and actually you can get these kits, this exact kit, in up to 8,200 megahertz. So I was expecting overclocking to be pretty easy, you know, bump the voltage, change the divider, and then we would, you know, probably get another, I don't know, 600-800 megahertz out of this kit. But I was not able to do that. The first thing I noticed is that when I would bump the voltage anywhere over 1.4, it just didn't like it. My system was not a happy camper. Even if I bumped the voltage to like 1.41, it just was not happy. And this is the first DDR5 kit that I've tested that I had that issue. Now, I was able to get this up to 6,400 megahertz, but I did have to loosen the timings as well. So I ended up with timings of 32, 38, 38, 38, 78, and that's at the stock 1.4 voltage here. I did see other reviews where people were able to run this at 1.45 volts. I don't know. Maybe it's just my kit or the ICs. I'm not exactly sure. But overall, you know, it's still going to be a good kit if you're not going to, like, if you're just installing this and you're not doing overclocking, it's going to be fine. You're not going to run into any issues. The performance is fine. I actually like the way this kit looks, with the simple Clev logos and everything. And I think it's a sleek looking kit. The RGB works fine. It's just that if you did want to push it a little bit further, at least the kit that I had, I wasn't able to do much. There's not a whole lot of overclocking headroom. Now, the kit that I reviewed is $103.99, and they even have a kit that has even tighter timings than that. The CL26, which is not on Amazon, but they do have a CL26 kit that's 6,000 megahertz as well. I'm not sure why it's not on Amazon, but $103.99, which isn't a bad price. That's on a 32 gig kit, so not bad pricing there.
Yeah, very affordable.
Yeah, affordable, looks good. You're not going to run into, like I said, the only issue is going to be over, at least on the kit that I had. Like I said, I saw the reviews where people were able to push it a lot further, but I tried. I was like, every little increment, I was trying to even just put any little bit of voltage in there, and it just wasn't happy. So, I gave it an 8 out of 10. I thought, like I said, I like the design, good performance. You have both profiles on there, both Expo and XMP profiles. It does have a lifetime warranty as well. And if you did want the faster kit, you know, you can get it up to speeds of up to 8,400 megahertz. So you can get it super, super fast, especially for the Intel side of things. And like I said, not much overclocking headroom. And then, like I said, it just didn't like any voltage over 1.4 volts, at least on my system. So that's kind of that's, like I said, I've liked both Clev. That's the second Clev product that I've had the chance to take a look at. And they both were memory kits, and I like them overall. And I
remember when they first came out, I was still working, I think, for Bjorn at that time. And like, they were just like, I think they were mostly in the European market at first, but I just loved the look of them. And I was like, guys, we got to get this memory review. And it just never happened. But I've always been happy with, like, I think their product is good. I really like the design on their stuff though. So
yeah, I really like, excited I do that like we're their getting design. Stuff in yeah. Them. I do like their design, and they're like there's a couple companies that really support modders, and they're one of them. G-Skill is, cause G-Skill has their big thing as well. G-Skill is one of them as well. Like there are some brands that really, really support modders, and Clev is one of them. So, and like I said, at their booth at Computex, they had a ton of builds.
Yeah, that's cool. Saying,
yeah. That's cool. And at other events, they have a ton of builds too. So they really support modders, which we're definitely a huge fan of. And talking about that, we'll get into Case Mod Friday. But I did want to say what's up to Old Man. He's in our live chat here. If you're in the live chat, definitely say what's up. Good to see you here, of course, pretty much every week. Now, this build, I think you might like this one, Ryan. I think you might like this one. So this is from our friend Stuart over at GGF. And this is the Cougar Omnix, which was a case that we talked about that had really interesting design and airflow and everything like that. He's done a white and copper build, which I think the color scheme on this is excellent. You know, with like the copper accents all over the place, all white, which just looks great. White, like white tubing here, but then copper tubing here. And this
Corsair
is hard
components,
tubing.
It looks like.
Yeah, Corsair components. And this is soft tubing and this is hard tubing. So that's a little bit of a mix as well, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I'm usually not a fan of like the copper tubing builds because it never looks right. But I agree. This one looks amazing. Like, I'm not a fan of the ones where they've, like, you know, used the torch and they have copper fittings or, you know, and
the one we might, the one we might feature next week is very much late, but it's, it's from, we featured the, those guys. Yeah, we featured them before they, and this one's, I saw it. I have to get a little bit more information on, but I might feature that one next week. But, but yeah, you're right. Like this, I just feel it goes together and just like the little, like
it's so, you know, bright white too. It's like so clean and crisp. That's
Cause
it's usually like a lot of times those that they get like tarnished with fingerprints or it just doesn't look great. Even like, look at that attention to detail on the memory there with the copper in there and your water block. Just, yeah, this does look pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, I like this. What do you think of the case? This is like, we talked about this case when it was announced.
It's okay. That's fine.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot.
There's a lot of room in it.
We're talking about the case. A lot of cases have this big bottom now. And there's a couple cases that we'll talk about this, or one case that we'll talk about that has a big bottom like that as well. They're seeing this becoming a thing.
Yeah, there's just a ton of, there's a ton of space in there.
Yeah,
that's empty space, right? They've got a ton of fans and airflow in it. It just,
yeah, like this big top. I don't know how much of a fan I'm like, yeah, it's just like a lot of what I guess it. I mean, you're either gonna put fans up here or you're putting a radiator up here, like he has, but it's just like a lot of emptiness up here. It doesn't look as bad in this build, I guess, but yeah. Yeah, no, I like this one.
Yeah,
I think it's cool.
It's cool.
So shout out to Stuart for that one. We, of course, have everything linked as well as his video as well.
Does Bob like Big Bottom?
I mean, maybe. actually, the one that we're going to talk about, I kind of do. And I saw a couple of these at Computex. Like, the Big Bottom kind of puts it on like a stand as sort of like more of a showpiece than your traditional case. And allow, like some of them allow you to put stuff down there too, like storage and some other things. Whereas like, you know, you're not taking up other space or have to segment the case in a specific way.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to that story. But again, shout out to Stuart for that one. And then we're moving right into news here. So, have you heard of NVIDIA's Feynman GPUs coming out in 2028?
No. It's a ways away, but no.
Yeah, it's a very, very far ways away. But it looks like NVIDIA will be using TSMC, their A16 node, for the 2028 Feynman GPUs. This was on their roadmap right here, NVIDIA's roadmap. So, so that's who they're going to use. If I'm a betting man, I'm guessing TSMC stock is just going to keep on.
Yeah. Going that's up. Gonna, yep.
Yeah. Keep on going up. But yeah, the A16 node is supposed to enter mass production second half of 2026, which means there'll be more than enough allocation for NVIDIA to use it for their next gen GPUs and everything like that. So yeah, we have some information about the A16 node if you are interested in things like that. But yeah, TSMC is just crushing it like always.
Yeah.
Now talking about, we talked about this before and I actually just got this board in to review.
Cool.
It's in my mailbox. I haven't got it yet. But I have to go get it, but it's in my mailbox. So Sapphire, we talked about like they were possibly going to finally bring their motherboards to the global market.
Right.
They had initially just only been available in China and we saw some really cool Sapphire motherboards. But they were only, again, available in China. You couldn't get them here in the United States. And now they finally are officially entering the U.S. market with the Nitro Plus B850A Wi-Fi motherboard. So So yeah, that's what the board looks like. It's pretty like it's a BA50. So again, it's not like their top end segment. Mm-hmm. It's not a Z890 or X870E top end segment board. But I'm really interested to see these boards. I'm actually really interested to see how the BIOS is as well. I'm always just like what does this BIOS look like? To see the different feature sets that are like, I'm so used to, like, I know all the feature sets that are on, like,
right, you know, specific, your way around all of them,
like all the motherboards, right? So it'll be interesting to see this feature set and what this board kind of offers and everything like that. So we'll have a review of this eventually. Like I said, I literally just got it today. That's going to be nice to have another player. We always say that. We said that with GPUs. It's great with motherboards as well. We just need like DFI to come back and, you know.
A-bit.
Yeah, an A-bit. And then we just have so many, but yeah. So definitely cool to see that from Sapphire. Now, both Intel and AMD recently released a couple CPUs and both of them are from very old generations. AMD right now is on the AM5 socket. Of course, if you bought anything from Ryzen 7000 series forward, it's on an AM5 socket, which as a reviewer and somebody who has to pull the CPUs, definitely nicer because they switch from, BGA to LGA?
Right.
Yeah, so the Ryzen... anything pre-Ryzen 7000 had the pins in it, and I've bent pins. I don't know if you had bent pins in the past.
No, thankfully.
Or the CPU would get stuck on the cooler, and you pull your cooler out, and the whole thing would come out. That's happened to me before, and I believe that's how I bent the pin. Because the CPU was like wedged on my cooler, right? And I'm just slowly trying to twist it off because it's like,
yeah.
And then I twisted it and it just went. And then I picked it up and like pins were just, yeah, it's just bad. Bad. And I had like, I got thermal paste like on my floor. And it was just like, it was just not a good thing. Well, AMD has now released the Ryzen 5 5600F, an AM4 CPU in 2025. This is kind of interesting because AM4 launched in 2016, and it's 2025, and you're still getting new parts for this socket or this platform. This is a 6-core 12-thread part. Base clock of 3 gigahertz, it boosts up to 4 gigahertz. And again, this is not a part that like an enthusiast would buy. This is more or less for like OEM builds and things like that.
I mean, there's still plenty of market, I think, for this, right?
Especially for
OEM and like we said, like pre-builts and stuff.
Yeah.
But just think of like, for just a low end machine, this is still so much compute power.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ryzen 5000 was, I'm running Ryzen 5000, mm-hmm. Ryzen 5000 is such a good platform overall. Really, like I said, really interesting that we're seeing this. And I think it's even more interesting on the Intel side of things. So Intel launched the Core i5-110. And this CPU is based on the 14 nanometer plus.
Jeez. 10 series, huh?
If you guys don't remember, Intel was stuck on 14 nanometer for so long. And that's why we have the plus. And we did talk about this on the podcast way back when it did. And this is 5 years after the initial release. It's essentially a rebadged Core i5-10400. That's essentially what it is. Again, another 6-core 12-thread part, 2.9 gigahertz base, and boosts up to 4.3 gigahertz. So essentially, like AMD and Intel did the same thing. They're like, we need this part. we need a 6-core 12-thread part that will work on older systems or like less expensive chipsets.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're like staging this for like all these people that are on a Windows 10 machine that doesn't run 11, right? They're just like holding out, or they get to a point where they're like, well, I've got to replace this because I'm not getting updates. What's a cheap option out there, right? Oh, we've got this new computer, right? It runs Windows 11.
I do believe
not going to cost a crazy amount.
Yeah, I do believe, like, I don't believe the 10 series. Does the 10 series support like the stuff for Windows 11?
Yeah. Yeah.
It supports the TPM and all that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay. So, yeah, you're probably right. Like, people on older systems that haven't, and like, what is it, October 25th, right? 14th. That's when, 14th, that's when the Windows 10 updates cease to exist, right? So yeah, I think maybe you're right. Maybe this is exactly what this is. Or like, again, not only for those people, but also for like, you know, businesses that just didn't upgrade, they just didn't do it, and now they have to buy like 10 new machines, right?
Right.
And right. It, like, you know, you can get a Lenovo or a Dell or whatever with this setup in it, right? For your simple business system. So it makes more sense that way. It's just really interesting to see. And then, like I said, the fact that they both did it means that like there is definitely the market there. Like they both know something, right? They both know that they're going to get a lot more orders for these parts, right? Because again, you wouldn't launch something that's that old if you don't expect to see the sales for it.
The return. So, yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. Yeah, and that's what old man said. He said, I saw speculation the new i5 will be for OEM builds, business, and schools. Basically, yeah, budget machines and things like that. Yeah, that's what's going to happen with that. But it's just funny to see, especially as like an enthusiast, you're just like, wait, what?
This whole thing? Yeah.
Yeah. So talking about the big bottom cases, this one is from Dark Flash. So this is their Floatron F1 Micro ATX. But I assume it's like the same size as an ATX case with the big bottom, as we call it now.
That's got to be. I mean, just the top section looks like a micro ATX case.
Yeah. Right? And then you add this, right?
Yeah,
and
that's a lot of extra space.
I don't know if anything, because like they show
power supply.
It's not for fans. I guess that's where the power supply would be. Yeah, because where else is this power supply going? It's not going behind. There's a little bit of room behind the motherboard, but no, I don't think enough. Yeah,
I see that, but I don't think it's enough.
Yeah, so you got power supply and storage in here if you're doing regular hard drives?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It makes the case more of a showpiece, but like, and it's a lot of wasted space. And I also don't like how the bottom of the case looks like from this angle. Like, I don't want
that. Yeah, but you're not going to see it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Let's see. Where's the power supplies? Yeah, the power supply's down there. I do like this entire mesh back panel too, just for good airflow and everything like that. Yeah, fan at the back, and then you would have what? Yeah, side mount, top mount. That's cool.
Yeah, comes apart. I like that.
Yeah, pretty
easy. I don't know if that base pedestal's not really my style. I think it's kind of neat, but
I'm
sure we'll see some cool builds in it for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's definitely an interesting case for sure. So, and micro ATX too, right?
Yep.
I think the next case that we're going to talk about is also micro ATX. So this one's from Fantex. They have their XTV3, which is micro ATX. No big bottom on this. This one's more traditional looking. So this is their XTV3, both available in black and white colorways. Again, micro ATX designed to support, as you can see, long-ass graphics cards.
It's a good-looking case. And I like how they've hidden the power supply, because in a lot of these cases, the power supply is just like hanging there, and I don't like that. But I like at least they put this shroud.
Is that where the power supply is, or is it back?
I'm pretty sure.
You think? Probably, I guess, because it's corrugated or segregated like that. It's like, you know, thicker than this other side.
Yeah, it's gonna sit vertical. It, you know, probably take a SFX.
Yeah, I'm guessing SFX in this. But this is, I like this. This definitely at least appears like I've seen a lot of these where like there is room for cooling at the bottom, but it's just so close to the graphics card. You know what I mean?
Right.
This one looks like there's proper space. I like how this is separated like this. And it keeps like it's clean. It's so it will keep the inside of this very clean. Like if you look at it, like yeah, look how clean great. That looks. Supports 360 millimeter AIOs, which is definitely ideal. And then you'll have, you know, you could do 3 120s in the bottom, and then look at 120 at the rear. So definitely like that for smaller builds. Yeah. They also announced their NextLink Hub V2. Have you used any Fantech stuff?
Not like a hub like this or anything. Okay. I haven't looked at any Fantech gear in a long time, actually.
Yeah, we haven't taken a look at any Fantech stuff in a while. But yeah, I haven't seen any of their like monitoring software or anything, but this is what it looks like. So they have their new hub, and then they have a new Gen 5 vertical GPU bracket as well.
Sweet.
And then we have pricing. So the cases are only $70. I assume they don't come with any fans at that price.
Yeah.
And then the hub is $24.99, and then the Gen 5 brackets are actually $79.99. So those are the prices on all of that. But I definitely like the cases. I think they look great.
You just get that extra space in Micro ATX compared to Mini ITX. You know,
yeah.
Like that's Micro ATX. I will say it is and you my have, favorite like, form factor.
And you have room for proper cooling most of the time.
You don't have to jam everything together or put it into a case that's too big and then it looks funky. Like, yeah.
Yeah. This is yeah. Good. So, yeah, definitely like that. So, shout out to Fantech for that. This is something I got to see at Computex and it finally came out. And this is probably going to be like one of the new standard. Everybody buys the CPU cooler. So Cooler Master has finally come out with their Hyper 212 3D HP, which uses their 3D heat pipe technology. I actually got to see this. I got to see it like up close. I have to say that Cooler Master, like you think, when you think of Cooler Master, like what do you think of? You just think of like CPU coolers and like cases, right?
Yeah. A lot of times.
People don't realize that they make the cooling systems for like,
Things you see
every day. Like they make the cooling systems for like the cell towers and like other like things like that. And like I got to see all that at their headquarters in Taiwan, which is super, super cool.
Yeah, you go to their website and you got to choose between like industrial products or consumer products.
Yeah. And I assume they make a lot more money on the industrial side.
Probably.
But they also make like a lot of cooling stuff that's in specific devices, like the Razer phone. They made the vapor chamber that's in there, or is it the Asus phone and the Razer? One of them, they actually made the vapor chamber that's in there and did all that. And they do that on a lot of products as well. But in any case, this is their new cooler that makes use of 3D heat pipes. So instead of having typical CPU coolers, like just for forever, if they had heat pipes, they were in this U fashion, and it kind of just worked like that. And when you did do that, you could see like the center parts wouldn't get the heat transfer that the outer parts would get because there's no heat pipe there. So what they've done is they put another sort of heat pipe connected to the other three, and you get more surface area cooling. Better cooling, what they've told us is like a 2 heat pipe cooler would have the same effect or like the same performance as like a 4 heat pipe cooler. And a 4 heat pipe cooler would have the same performance as like a 6 heat pipe cooler. So that's kind of what they've done. And you can see, you know, how everything would work. And that's kind of, you know, what it looks like there. And I guess better contact as well with the heat pipes. But yeah, so it's going to be $30, which is not expensive.
No, that's great.
The Hyper 212 has been like the cooler. If you're looking just for like a something to cool off, like a Core i5, you're just going to put it in your system and forget about it. Easy to install. And as you can see, this one, does the old Hyper 212 probably only has, probably has four heat pipes. Yeah, so this one only has two, but then you have the two in the middle that go through the center. So, so yeah, and they will have a whole bunch of coolers based on this tech. This is the first cooler that's coming out. The ones that look
Like the motor?
The motor, the V-series, those will also have the 3D heat pipe technology when they come out as well. And I got to see those.
I wonder how mounting is going to go on this, right? Because we're used to having kind of an open space in the center for a bracket to go across or something.
I mean, they probably fashion it around those pipes, right? They would, however that's going to work, they'll fashion it around the pipes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see that.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. And we'll probably get one of these into review as well, just to see how that, because I do have an old Hyper 212, so it'd be interesting to do like a direct comparison. I mean, that's what they told us. They said, again, like, you'll see much, much better performance overall. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe Cooler Master owns the patent on this tech, but I'm not 100%. So they would be, at least for a while, the only people to
do that. Yeah.
Kind of like Ace Attack and the AIO, and before their patent ran out, right?
Right, yeah.
So yeah.
Maybe they'll license this out to other companies, who knows.
Now, back in the day, did you remember the Virtual Boy?
Of course. Like, I didn't have it, but it was like, every now and then you'd go to like a Target or a Walmart, you know how they used to have like the video game section and like the demo, like TVs up above and the controller that's attached, right? Every now and then you'd catch one of those locations that had a Virtual Boy that you could demo. So that's my only interaction.
When I was growing up, one of my friends had one.
Wow.
And you saw it all over TV and you thought it was like, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. This is probably like my first like real tech, I don't even know if it's technically VR, but like first kind of like immersive VR experience was a Virtual Boy, right? So I was super excited, like go to my buddy's house and he had it. And then you went to play it and it was like one of the worst experiences you've ever had. It was not great by any means. Maybe because at that time, like you're just not used to that type of immersive experience,
sure.
But it was really bad. And the sales of it showed that it was really bad. Like it wasn't like it was, anything great. Well, Nintendo's bringing it back. They're bringing it back with the Switch. Switch and Switch 2 would be compatible with this thing. It's going to be an accessory that you can get. And essentially, you put the Switch in it. I thought I had the photo of where you put the Switch in it.
I hadn't watched this yet.
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah, so you open it up like that, and then you put your Switch in it like that. Okay. And then it plays it has like the old classics that you had previously. You know,
that's funny.
I think like 8 or 9 games.
Hmm.
So yeah, that's what it is.
All right, you know, depend on how much is it? $100.
Yeah, it's $100, or you can get a cardboard model for $24.99.
Yeah.
What
was the price on the original? I'm looking here. $170, $180. It was $180 back in the day. Yeah. $100 seems like a lot for.
You have to have
a Switch.
You have to have a Switch, like the one that was $170 back in the day, or whatever. It was a full on system. It wasn't
right.
This is just a accessory that, I mean, it has some type of lenses, right? Like these red lenses, right? Where is it? So yeah, like this part, whatever that is. I don't know.
Oh, it supports Switch and Switch 2.
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. And Switch 2. So both can be put in there. So if you have a normal Switch, you can buy this thing for $100. Nice. Yeah, I don't know. I basically,
I'm a pass on it, but
yeah. Yeah. Old Man said he bought a Virtual Boy down at who remembers Kmart? I know I paid more than 40. The games were marked down at least 75%. Yeah, like it was not. It was just wait. Maybe it was before its time, or like the games weren't great. I just remember my experience with it. The little I got to play it was not great. And I mean, when did it come out? Ryan, can you look that up?
I just closed, but yeah, I'll find out.
Look up how much that 170 is now, like in today's.
It was, darn it, not AI. I want the all. It was, let's see here. Okay, so it was 179, which is equivalent to 370 in 2024 dollars.
Yeah, so I mean, that's expensive too. You know what I mean?
And it came out in 95.
Yeah. I do remember playing this, but it was just not a good experience. So I don't know what Nintendo's doing. I think like,
I mean, they sold less than a million of these things, so.
Yeah, that's not good.
I'm sorry. It was the lowest, and it's the lowest selling.
Ever. Yeah, so their lowest selling console ever. So I don't know if they're just trying to just get on nostalgia, right?
Yeah.
Like, just get on that nostalgia train.
This feels like those accessories that came out with the first Wii of, like, the fake tennis racket and the golf club, you know, like,
yeah, you put your,
I don't need this to play the game, and why am I paying $100 to play these crappy?
Yeah. And I think you have to buy the games too.
Oh, what? It better come with all those games.
So it's just tennis golfer. I don't know.
Will debut with 14 games. Plans to release more over time. So it, maybe it comes.
Yeah, says it's available for pre-purchase through the My Nintendo Store. I don't know. I just think they're trying to capitalize on nostalgia, if anything.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that many people are like nostalgic about the Virtual Boy.
Oh, I miss my Virtual Boy. This
yeah,
the
like
splitting headaches and
yeah, pain. Yeah. It just was yeah, it was yeah, not a great experience. That's what Old Man said. He said, if it stimulates the true Virtual Boy experience, you should expect. Wonder why that was. I do remember that. Like, I couldn't play it for that long. Maybe it was the red, like the red. I don't know. But in any case, they are coming out with that. Moving over to an interesting story and like maybe a welcomed one. Have you ever tried to like actually use the search function in Windows?
I don't use it like they want me to, right? To like, I just use it to search for like applications or files. I don't use it to like, oh, let me kick off a internet search here.
No, but like even the file search, is it slow and bad and it's just like not a good
Hit or miss.
Yeah, I feel like it's just like not a good experience. And like,
I feel like Windows 7 actually worked really well for like file search. And then
yeah, my file search is just not great. And I have like NVMEs and it's still not great.
Yeah.
So Google has put out a new Windows app called Google App. It essentially gives you a search. So it's going to go in and I guess map your drives and you can search for anything on your computer. But it also has like interesting... Google Lens is integrated, AI stuff is integrated in it. So like you could be like, find the angle and do, you know what I mean? Like do stuff like that. Or, you know, you could translate stuff live on screen and things like that. I think if it's a better search experience than currently what's in Windows, I'd be all for it. Now there is the question of like, I guess, do you want like Google to, I don't think they would technically know what all you have on your computer, but like,
Do I want them scraping and indexing my whole C drive? Probably not.
Yeah. Maybe you could turn that off. Cause it says local file search, Google Drive access and web search into a single interface. And I believe this interface is like, it's much like if you've ever used a Mac, you can bring up like Spotlight, which is very much the same. So you would, I think that it's like, alt space would be, I think for this one, you just hit alt space and it just brings up a search on your computer.
I was gonna say, it's gotta be easy to access. Cause I don't want to have to like minimize and then have this little search bar that's like on my desktop. I don't want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Old Man says, I keep Windows 11 completely up to date. Otherwise, File Explorer stops working. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues in Windows, which we're actually going to talk about. But like my search is just like bad. Or like I've had times where like I go to search just like simple stuff that I just don't want to go through the start menu for, like control panel, right? Right. And then instead of it actually like bringing up
anything, yeah,
it brings up a web search for control panel. And I'm like, I want my actual control panel, or like I would just like go into search and hit like type in update to do my Windows update. And it would like search the web for it instead of doing it local. Like, it's just not a good, I don't think Windows search has been good for a very long time, in my opinion, in my experience with it, that I don't use it a lot. But like, again, the idea of just like, you know, alt space brings up any search, and built-in web search with the sort of like AI functionality as far as like maybe asking questions and things like that, especially if it's not like poorly written and doesn't like, you know, the performance hit on your system isn't crazy either, right? It'd be interesting to see, but you can download it, I believe.
I'll let other people try it out first.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'll let other people try it. Yeah. Yeah. So, well, like I said, we have it linked if you want to check it out. You have to opt into the experiment in Google Labs to do it. But yeah, I like it. I think like there's like, we're so used to Windows, right? And it's just like, we got to take what we have because this is what we have, right? But if somebody can expand on that functionality, and I think if anybody could do it, it'd be like a Google or like a big company like that to make that experience at least a little bit better without all the bloat and junk that's in Windows. I think it's a good thing. So yeah. So that is that. And then talking about Microsoft, they are going to mandate, they're going to install it on your computer, Copilot in October. So if you have Microsoft 365, any Microsoft 365 app, like that's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, any of those things, in October, but through mid-November, as far as like them rolling it out, Copilot will be installed on your computer by default. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I don't like it, but I don't have any of those M365.
I'm sure like it's on there, you should be able to disable it or take it off.
Yeah, and you can block it as well, like depending on your in a business environment, there's options there for you. But
yeah.
I mean, it's not really that crazy, right? Like some other updates pushed Copilot to machines, so it's not not too crazy. I just turn it off.
Yeah, I've just turned it off. Like there's certain things that you see and you're like, what is this?
I know. Like if I see a search bar right next to the start menu, I'm like, what are you doing? Like those are the first things I turn off.
Or like when they used to like install Skype.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'd be like, why Skype here?
Why Skype? Yeah.
Like, well, I don't want this. Yeah. So yeah, that's going to happen as well. I think the biggest thing is that like Microsoft wants adoption so they can essentially train the AI. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are new machines still coming with a Copilot button?
I really hope not. Like, do you remember when like phones came with like a Facebook button? Like there were some phones that came with the Facebook button, even like the buttons on your, your remote
TVs,
your smart TV. There's like a Netflix and a whatever, but like they all change and like things like,
right. What if this one goes out of business? Now what does this button do?
Or they change the name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't one of them change the name?
Like HBO, like.
No, Max, not HBO. Yeah, but no. But what I mean is, like, didn't one of these AIs change their name already?
Sure.
Wasn't it Microsoft? Wasn't Copilot called something else?
Oh yeah. I don't remember. They had Recall as well, which was that other product. But
I think that's what it was. That they just rolled it all into Copilot.
Into Copilot. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I mean. Like they change the names all the time, and like you have these like Dell and Lenovo and whoever, they like put the dedicated button on there. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think they would have a lot better adoption of all of these or at least the Microsoft one, if they just called it Clippy. Bring Clippy back, man. Got to bring Clippy back. Yeah,
there's a push for that from Lewis Rossman.
I don't know who that is, but
what?
Who's that?
He does like he's like a big advocate for or huge advocate for like right to repair stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, you know, got his name like repairing Apple devices and doing like, you know, component level repairs and replacements to keep stuff out of, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, well that was a big thing with Apple. You couldn't repair their things. And yeah. I think that's where all those lawsuits happen, like the right to repair lawsuits.
That's him.
Yeah. And I mean, we're even getting to that now is because if you think about like, especially a lot of the thinner and lighter devices, like the RAM soldered on, you can't do, you know what I mean? Like you can't, the SSDs are soldered in too. So like you can't swap it out if your SSD goes.
Yeah. I did, you know, we didn't talk about it in the news and I don't know if there was an article on the site about it. But I saw somewhere else where it was, who does Dave work for now? The storage
company. Western Digital?
No.
SanDisk?
No.
Seagate?
No. Dave, who does he work for?
Kingston?
No. But Bywin.
Oh, that Dave. I think you remember the other Dave. Okay.
They're coming out with essentially like hopefully a replacement for kind of like micro SD, but it's like a micro SSD.
We talked about this on the podcast.
When? Last week?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Literally.
Oh man. Well, yeah. Maybe I saw a newer article about it.
Let's go back, guys.
Let's see when Ryan forgot.
Ryan's losing it. And I thought I was getting old. It's in here somewhere. Let's see.
Maybe, I don't know. Nope.
No. And it's like, maybe it's like a month ago.
That's going to be sad if it was that long ago.
We're going to bring all these up. We're going to find it. Because I know, like, we talked about this, and I was like, isn't this just so cool?
Not that.
It was after Computex. I know that. Right here.
John, let me see. Where at? When was this?
This was August 20th.
Okay, let's see. Where? Which one?
It's right here. It says Bywin's mini SSD, pocket-sized storage of packs.
Yeah, that's one.
Let's see. Let's see
that's pocket. Funny.
Let's see where this is at. That's us talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, Ryan.
Oh, man.
Ryan's losing it.
Getting old.
Yeah. No, I thought, yeah, well, that's the thing. I thought this was super cool. Because it essentially gives you NVMe speed
in a super tiny
in the same form factor and compatibility with like the micro SD slot. I don't know how they're doing it, right? But you essentially slot this into there, and then that whole thing slots into your device. We talked, like I said, we did talk about this on the podcast, which Ryan forgets, but
apparently.
Yeah, 3,700 megabytes a second read and 3,400 megabytes a second write. Yeah, super cool. All right,
forget I said anything.
Yeah, we did talk about this last week though. Yeah, that's Ryan losing. It's okay, Ryan. We all have, you know, we're all getting old at some point. So but yeah, talking about what we have coming up next week. I still haven't figured out this SSD issue that I'm having, but I'm just going to, well, I set up the AMD system again, so I'm going to try to run them through there, and if that doesn't work, then we're just going to have to change our testing methodology, because it's just a weird issue that I'm having. So I was supposed to review it a while back, and for some reason, their pictures are not working on the website, but I'll be taking a look at the Crucial T710. This is a Gen 5 NVMe SSD, so stay tuned for that. I will be troubleshooting my SSD issues that I've been having for the past like 2 weeks, trying to get proper testing without whatever issues. I'm running some issues. So I'll have that for you guys next week. And the question of the week, which I didn't put in the show notes for some reason, and this has a lot to do with Windows and how just like the state of Windows is bad. Old man said Microsoft is pushing people to Linux. And I think they are. It's just like certain times, like Windows is just really bad. Everybody's experienced it. But one of the things that I think so many people have experienced is that when you go to your, like it's the end of the night, like tonight, and it actually happened to me last night. You go, you hit the start menu, and then you go to shut that, you go to shut down, and you hit shut down. But your computer doesn't shut down. It restarts. So the question of the week is, on a percentage level, how often does your computer actually shut down?
I'd say most.
You're running Windows 10, though. You don't count. Yeah, okay, this is a Windows 11 thing.
Now, I do get the, like, these applications are still open, right? And then they bloop, 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 and then shuts down.
Like, so, old man, what percentage, like, if you, I think you're running Windows 11, I assume. If you are running Windows 11, what percentage does your system actually shut down when you hit shut down? I would say for me, it's like a good 60-40. It's definitely a good 60-40. Yeah, because like I'll shut down and then I'll just like, as soon as I shut down, I just like walk away and I'm like, oh, it's going to shut down. Like I don't wait for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then in the morning, my computer's on. Like I come out here, I'm like, wait, my computer's on? You know?
He's got another keyboard for $26.
Another keyboard. I'll look that up here in 1 second.
That's funny. He is running Windows 11 though, because he was talking about keeping it up to date earlier. But
yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah, that would not be fun, especially if you've got a machine that just like chugs power and you don't want it to.
Yeah.
Just sucking up all that power. Yeah.
I'm looking up his keyboard. So, you turn it off every day, old man. But like, when you go to shut down, does it actually shut down every time or does it restart?
Maybe your computer's just busted, Bob.
No, there's a lot of people. I've seen this, and I was gonna make a video on it because it's very apparent. Somebody was talking about it. Some like big tech person was talking about it. They were saying that like just the state of Windows is so bad that it doesn't even shut down properly. I'm trying to find his keyboard. I can't find it. Oh, here it is. It's $56.99,
and then 50% off for the black version. Yeah,
I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing 5% off. Oh, 50% off at checkout. That's kind of weird how they hide that right there. Like,
you would think you'd want that more.
You'd want that right here. But it must be a certain thing. But yeah, this is the keyboard. So old man, of course, is our keyboard connoisseur. This is the Tide 65 from EpoMaker.
He doesn't say that he ordered it, though. So maybe he didn't buy this one.
It's wired. I'm assuming it's mechanical key switch. 65% layout. Yeah. Pre-loop switches. It's their lemon switch. Plate mount stabilizers. Looks good. Has the front-facing legends there as well. So it's going to look all black from the top like that. And it's
$26. Does it have a texture on the top of the keycaps?
Probably. They're PBT probably. So they're going to have that better feel.
Like that almost makes it look like there's like some sort of pattern on there, but
yeah, possibly.
Maybe it's just the image. I don't know.
Yeah. No, old man, I'm not asking you if you shut it down. What I'm asking you if you go to start, shut down, and then shut down, does your computer shut down all the time or does it sometimes just restart? Because I hit shut down and mine restarts. Like I said, it's a good 60-40 percentage that I hit shut down. And then it actually restarts. And he said, I've heard Windows doesn't truly shut down unless you turn off the power or reset. Now, that's like I said.
Yeah, there is truth to that, where the OS isn't like, it's not like fully off unless you're like fully pulled power from it.
I'm going to find this.
You're going to, because I can't be the only one. He says his always shuts down, so he must be doing something wrong.
It can't be me. Yeah, there's like videos. My PC restarts when I shut down. Help.
You probably made that video.
No, I didn't. That's on Reddit. Windows won't shut down. Restart automatically. PC restarts after selecting shutdown fix tutorial.
Yeah, somebody's got it solved. You got a good
I know. I need to go. I need to go figure it out. But yeah, no, that's like I said, I have been having computer issues or Windows issues, but the restarting instead of shutting down has been like an apparent thing since I installed Windows. Like it's just it used to be every once in a while, and it's gotten to the point where it's like, again, a good 60-40 chance when I hit shutdown, it just will. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. Anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about?
No, don't think so.
Nothing. No. All right. Well, we are going to be gaming. So we're going to be over on Twitch. This is twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. We are going to be over there playing some Apex Legends, which I am definitely excited for. Get our game on this week. So Ryan, of course, runs that stream over on Twitch. So like I said, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. And we will see everybody next week.